This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man wala, thumma amma ba'd, to proceed. So today, inshallah, we will have three chapters. We will go over Bab al-Qisma, or chapter on division. That's the first one. And then we will start the book of testimonies. Inshallah, we will take, you know, the book of testimonies and the chapter on those whose testimony is rejected, because that's part of the conditions of acceptance of testimony, or shurut, qabul al-shahada, and that's part of the book of testimonies. So the shurut and the mawana', that's basically the prerequisites or conditions, as well as mawana', hindrances from accepting a testimony. So let's start by Bab al-Qisma, and this is going to be a smaller chapter, the chapter on division of properties. And he added Bab al-Qisma to the book of Qadha, because usually Qisma follows Qadha. After the judge determines the shares, then the shares need to be divided. If people inherited a shared property, they need to divide the property. If it is a piece of land, they need to divide the piece of land. If it is sort of a building, they need to divide it. And that usually is not that simple. You know, dividing a piece of land is not that simple, because you know, different parts of that land may have different values. The same applies to buildings and things of that nature. But qisma is not limited only to basically what follows qada, or what follows the judicial process, because sometimes you may want to have qisma, or division of properties, with a partner in any property. If you have any shared property, you may not even go to the judge. You may decide to do it among yourselves. You may decide to hire someone to divide the property for you, an expert to divide the property for you, without resorting to court, or without going through the judiciary. So qisma is not always, it's not always related to the judiciary, but because it often is, particularly when there is disputation, then it was appropriate to put the chapter on division under the book of Al-Qadha. So Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, in his book Al-Umda, which is a Hanbali primer, said under the chapter on division, or Bab al-Qisma, وهي نوعان قسمة إجبار وهي قسمة ما يمكن قسمته من غير ضرر ولا رد عوض إذا طلب أحد الشريكين قسمه فأبى الآخر أجبره الحاكم عليه إذا ثبت عنده ملكهما ببينة. So let's just break this down into smaller paragraphs. So وهي نوعان, there are two types. قسمة إجبار وهي قسمة ما يمكن قسمته من غير ضرر ولا رد عوض. First, a division that can be imposed, those properties that can be divided without any harm to any partner or need for compensation of any partner. So he will talk about two different types of qisma, qismat ijbar and qismat taradi. Qismat ijbar, enforceable. Qismat taradi, only by mutual agreement. So qismat ijbar, whenever the partner comes and asks for division, we will force the other partner to accept the division of the property. Qismat taradi, they will have to mutually agree. What if some partner does not agree? Then we will then we will have them sell it, and then divide the price. But you know, partnership is considered a burden. Partnership is considered a problem. So if someone wants to get out of a partnership, we will enable them to get out of that partnership. Now, how will we enable them to get out of the partnership if the property can be divided without harm to anyone, and the property can be divided without monetary compensation or without compensation by anyone for anyone, then we will force the partner or partners to accept the division if one of them asks for it. So I have a piece of land here, and the piece of land has a will. Let us say that the value of the well is $200. The value of the well is $200. The value of the land, aside from the well, is $100. In this particular example, how do we divide this? I mean, you can't divide the well. You will not be able to divide the will. That's an assumption. You're not going to be able to divide the will. So you will give the will to one person, okay, and the other one will get 100. In order for this to be a fair division, the person who got the will have to pay the person who got the land. Well, outside of the will, let's say that the land ends here, for instance. The person who got the will have to give the person who got the land $50 to make him up. The fact that a compensation has to be paid, means that this division is not enforceable by court. They would have to sell everything and then divide the price. But we cannot make that division for them enforceable by the court. When will this division be possible? Mutual agreement. Taradi, mutual agreement. Why is this? Because in this particular case, what is happening here is what? Sale transaction. This is in essence a sale transaction. Can you force a sale transaction? No. So in this case, since there is a compensation, one partner has to make up the other partner by a monetary compensation. This will be classified as a sale transaction, and this will make that division unenforceable. Now, I have a piece of land and a will. And the price of the will is, let's say, 100, and the land is 200. The land is 200. So if the land is 200, then each one quarter of the land is what? 50. Let's presume it's equal price for each quarter of the land. So if I give the will and one quarter of the land to someone, that's 150. And the rest of the land to the other person, that's 150. Is this enforceable?
Yes.
It is, because there is no need for compensation. But what is the other condition? La darar. There should not be harm. What if the land will be useless without the will? Then it's not enforceable. But if there will not be darar, if there won't be harm, then this division is enforceable. This division is enforceable. Why? Because there is no harm, and because there is no need for compensation. The property itself, can be divided fairly between the two partners. What if one partner has one third of the property and the other partner has two thirds? The same applies. If we can divide it properly without compensation and without harm to any partner, and one partner asks for the division of the partnership, we will force the other partner to accept division. Why? Because partnership usually, not usually, let's be more optimistic, partnership is often, let's be more optimistic, partnership is sometimes problematic, a burden. So sometimes it is needed to get out of a partnership. So then there is another condition that he will mention for us to make that division, to enforce that division. He will come to it now. So the Sheikh then says, إذا طلب أحد الشريكين قسمه فأبى الآخر أجبره الحاكم عليه إذا ثبت عنده ملكهما ببينة. If one of the two partners requests that the property be divided, but the other refuses, the judge will force him to accept it as long as there is proof of their shared ownership. Will force them to accept it as long as there is proof of their shared ownership of the land. What if they come to you as a judge and say, we own this piece of land, divide it between us. And then you divide it between them, and it turns out they both don't own it. It's owned by someone else. The fact that they both agreed that they own that piece of land, please divide it between us, does not mean that there is no third claimant. So you will not divide it between them unless they produce proof. You will not enforce the division unless they produce proof that they actually co-own that land. And if they cannot produce proof, then he speaks about it here. فَإِنْ أَقَرَّ بِهِ لَمْ يُجْبَرِ الْمُمْتَنِعَ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ طَلَبَاهَا فِي هَذِهِ الْحَالِ قُسِمَتْ بَيْنَهُمَا وَأَثْبَتَ فِي الْقَضِيَّ أَنَّ قَسْمَهُ كَانَ عَنْ إِقْرَارِهِمَا لَا بِبَيِّنَةٍ. If their ownership is established through acknowledgement, then the second one will not be forced to accept the division. If they both agree to divide the property in this case, it will be divided between them, but it will be documented that the division was based on their mutual acknowledgement of the shared owner, of shared ownership, not on proof of it. So that division, so they came, they both came, and they said, we own this piece of land divided between us. The judge will say, where is your proof that you guys own, co-own this piece of land? If they fail to produce proof that they co-own this piece of land, what will the judge say? If one partner wants the division and the other partner does not want the division, he will dismiss them. He'll dismiss them. You don't have proof of co-ownership, and you're not agreeing on division. He will dismiss them. If both partners will say, no, we co-own this piece of land, and we want it divided, agreement here, we want it divided, the judge will divide it between them. But what he will do is, so that this is not a proof of ownership, because when you get a court document that this land was divided between the two of you, this will may be used by someone afterwards as proof of ownership. What the judge will do is that he will document that this division was based on mutual acknowledgement of co-ownership, not a proof of co-ownership. Yeah. So then, Of course, the Shafi'is will not accept this, even if they agree. They will not accept the division, even if they agree, until they produce a proof of co-ownership. But for us, Hanbalis, we will make the division. If this is for clarification of this point, to go ahead. But otherwise, we'll, yes.
I just want to clarify that previously you mentioned that how if you don't have the proof of ownership, they will take the oath.
If they take the oath without having a proof of ownership, we will still document that no proof of ownership was produced. والثاني قسمة التراضي. Okay, so that's the first type of قسمة. That's enforceable قسمة. So the conditions of enforceable قسمة is what? When can we enforce the division of property? No harm. Okay. Second, no need for compensation. The property itself can be divided based on their shares. No one will need to give monetary compensation to anyone, because if you have to give monetary compensation, that is a sale transaction. You cannot force people to sell and buy. And the third one is proof of ownership or co-ownership. Okay, one, two, three. You fulfill these conditions, and we will enforce the division. Then the Sheikh said that second type of division is a division based on mutual agreement. وَالثَّانِي قِسْمَةُ التَّرَاضِي وَهِيَ قِسْمَةٌ أَوْ قِسْمَةُ مَا فِيهِ ضَرَرٌ بِأَلَّا يَنْتَفِعَ أَحَدُهُمَا بِنَصِيبِهِ فِي مَا هُوَ لَهُ أو لا يمكن تعديله إلا برد عوض من أحدهما فلا إجبار فيها. Second, a division by mutual agreement. The division associated with harm to either party, such as that they cannot benefit from their share in the way it was intended. You know, we have factory and land. If we divide the factory between them, no one can use the factory. You know, if you divide the factory and you give one third of the factory to someone, one third of the machines, it has to be together or it would not work, for instance. Or it cannot be divided evenly without one of the partners having to pay a separate compensation to the other. In this case, the division cannot be imposed on them. However, الحق لا يعدوهما. Which means what? They basically, it is between them. It is their right. If they have mutual agreement, then they can divide it. Because mutual agreement is basically supreme in contracts. Mutual agreement is supreme in contracts. Keep in mind, that even with mutual agreement, if it results in darar, if it results in harm, then it would be religiously forbidden, because harm is religiously forbidden. Harm is religiously forbidden. But then it is mutual agreement, so they will be able to do it legally. They'll be able to do it. Religiously, it is forbidden because harm is religiously forbidden. Okay. Next, he says, وَالْقِسْمَةُ إِفْرَازُ حَقٍ لَا يُسْتَحَقُّ بِهَا شُفْعَةً وَلَا يَثْبُتُ فِيهَا خِيَارٌ وَتَجُوزُ فِي الْمَكِيلِ وَزْنًا وَفِي الْمَوْزُونِ كَيْلًا وَفِي الثِّمَارِ خَرْصًا. Division is simply a sorting out of rights, unscrambling of rights, sorting out of rights. It is not a sale transaction, so the rules of sale transactions will not apply to the division. Which division? that does not include a sale transaction, in which there is no right to preemption and no option to rescind. It is permissible. No right to preemption means what? حق الشفعة. حق الشفعة is when, if you sell your property, I, as a partner, will have the right to preemption. I can say to the buyer, I have a first, you know, basically, I have the right to this, the right of preemption. So, but in if this is sorting out of rights, if the division is not a sale transaction, so there is no right to preemption here. That the division will be enforceable, there is no right to preemption. Then, and no option to rescind, because if you sell a property, well, you have options. You know, do you remember options to cancel in the chapters of BUA, sale transactions? We mentioned so many options to cancel. At least one of them, at least according to the Hanbalis and Shafi'is, one of them is khiyar al-majlis, which is the khiyar, the option of physical separation. Before physical separation, I have the right to rescind, even if I finalize the contract. But we have not physically separated, I have the right to take it back and rescind. In division, no. Once we have divided the properties, and he will talk about qura'a, or tossing the coin, you know, drawing lots, tossing coins, as a means of the, you know, after the shares have been divided, then who gets the northern side or southern side? This will be determined by drawing lots. Once lots have been drawn, no one has the right to rescind, unless someone can come back and prove with bayina, with proof bayina, that the divider committed wrongdoing. But then, what he's saying here is that qisma is not a sale transaction, so the rules of sale transactions will not apply here. There will not be a right to preemption. There is no option to rescind. And then he says it is permissible to divide items that are measurable by volume on the basis of weight instead, and to divide those measurable by weight on the basis of volume instead. What is he trying to say here? Do you remember in the chapters of riba, when we talked about riba or usury, we said that if you have usurious items that are basically valued by weight, you cannot divide, you cannot value them by, like let us say you will sell dates, four dates, exchange dates for dates. What is requested when you exchange dates for dates? Hand to hand, equal for equal, equality. You cannot exchange, let us say, one volume measure of dates for two volume measures of dates. You cannot do that. Okay, so complete equality has to be ascertained. Now, dates are measured by what during the time of the Prophet ﷺ? By weight or volume? Volume, not weight. Okay, so can you exchange dates for dates on the basis of weight, not volume? No, not in a sale transaction, because you cannot ascertain equality in volume. You ascertain the equality in weight, but this is an item that is measured by volume, not weight. Since you cannot ascertain equality in volume, you cannot do that. You cannot exchange one weight measure for one weight measure. It has to be one volume measure for one volume measure. Clarification?
Just so on the point, is that because the quality may change?
No, because you cannot ascertain equality, and ascertainment of equality is because we say that one of the conditions of this exchange is to ascertain equality and to do it hand-to-hand, immediate transaction, no deferment. These are two conditions that had to be fulfilled. How do you ascertain equality of the two exchanged items? Based on the way they used to measure it during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And if it was measured by volume, you cannot use weight. If it is measured by weight, you cannot use volume. He is saying this rule will not apply in division because it is not a sale transaction. I have this much dates. I have dates. We co-own, you know, dates. Can we divide the dates? I own one third, you own two thirds. Can we divide the dates on the basis of weight, not volume? Yes, because that is not a sale transaction. It is a division, qisma, and qisma is sorting out of rights, unscrambling of rights. The rules of sales will not apply to them. Okay. Now he also says, also it is permissible to divide fruits on the basis of estimation of the yield before it's actually harvested. Now, to ascertain equality in a sale transaction, in order for you to ascertain equality, you have to measure the fruits. What if you do this by estimation? You know, the fruits, you estimate that the fruits on the trees are equal to this much weight. Can you do this? No, you can't. In a division, you can. Why? Because it is not a sale transaction, so the rules of sales are not applicable here. And the Sheikh says, وتجوز قسمة الوقف إذا لم يكن فيها رد عوض فإن كان بعضه طلقا وبعضه وقفا وفيها رد عوض من صاحب الطلق لم يجز وإن كان من رب الوقف جاز. It's permissible to divide the waqf as long as there will be no need for compensation. If some of the property is privately owned, then some is waqf, and the private owner will need to pay compensation, then the division is not permissible. But if the waqf manager will have to pay compensation, it is permissible. Okay, so now the waqf and there is a waqf and a private owner. The waqf and the private owner co-own this property. The waqf and the private owner co-own this property. We said the price of the well is, let's change this to 200. And the land is 100. So this is, let us say they mutually agree. The waqf is owned by Allah. But who's acting on behalf of the waqf? It's called Nazir al-Waqf, the manager of the waqf. The manager of the waqf looks after the interests of the waqf. So now the manager of the waqf and the private owner, they say, we would like to make that division happen. That is not an enforceable division. Has to be by mutual agreement, because the well is 200, the land is 100. Whoever gets the land will get $50 from the person who will get the well to be a fair division. Okay, can we give the waqf the land and $50? Yes. We cannot give the waqf the land and $50. We will have to give the waqf the will, and then we will have to give the waqf a will, and then the waqf will give $50 to the private owner. Why is this? Because a waqf cannot sell. A waqf can only buy, but a waqf cannot sell. Something that is mawquf, that is dedicated to Allah, cannot be sold. Not all of it, not part of it, except in certain cases that we have discussed in the chapters of waqf, and we've talked about the waqf of masajid in particular, because it is the sort of the most restrictive waqf, is the waqf of masajid. You can't sell the masajid, except as we said in the Hanbali madhhab, إِذَا تَعَطَّلَتْ مَنَافِعُهُ, it becomes of no utility anymore, then it can be sold. So in general, let's not use the will in particular, but let us say a land that cannot be divided except when the value, like this is a land. If I divide this land, there is no way that this northern side or eastern side will be equal to the western side. So one piece of the land will be 200, one piece of the land will be 100. Okay? I have to give the waqf the piece that is 200 if the waqf is able to pay the private owner $50 to make him up. I cannot give the waqf the piece that is 100 and then have the private owner pay $50 to the waqf. Because in this case, what is the waqf doing? Selling part of their share for $50. Selling part of their share for $50. Can a waqf sell? A waqf cannot sell. A waqf can only buy. A waqf can only expand, cannot shrink. Now, as we said, the waqf may be able to sell in the Hanbali madhab, إِذَا تَعَطَّلَتْ مَنَافِعُهُ, once it becomes of no utility, then you can sell the waqf. But then what do? You take the money and you buy with the money something that is for the same cause. The masjid is of no utility anymore. There is asbestos or something harmful that was found in the masjid. People cannot use the masjid anymore. Then you take the money and you buy another masjid nearby for the same community, serve the same cause, and so on. That's the Hanbali position. What does the rest of the madhahib say about this? You cannot sell it, no matter what. But, I know that, Sheikh Muhammad Taqi Uthmani, for instance, he is a known Hanafi authority in our times, and he bases his fatwa on the Hanbali madhab in this regard, because otherwise, masajid will be, properties will be abandoned, and we'll just keep them, there abandoned. Anyway, so the Shaykh then says that Imam Ibn Qudama, who died in the year 620 after Hijrah, says in his book Al-Umda, under the chapter of division, which we are still discussing, وَإِذَا عُدِّلَتِ الْأَجْزَاءِ أُقْرِعَ عَلَيْهَا فَمَنْ خَرَجَ سَهْمُهُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ صَارَ لَهُ وَلَزِمَ بِذَلِكَ. After adjusting the shares to make them equitable, he will then cast lots between the partners, or lots will be cast between the partners. He whose lot comes out indicating entitlement to a particular share will have it, and it will be binding. Now, why are we drawing lots here? We divided this piece of land, okay? We brought an expert to divide it. The expert says, in order for this land to be divided fairly, the person on the northern side will take two-thirds of the land. The person on the southern side will take one-third of the land, because the value of the two-thirds on the northern side is equal to the value of the one-third on the southern side. Let's presume that the expert said that. The building, you know, there are apartments here, apartments there, is different. Okay, so now we have this piece of land. We write, you know, this piece of land, we put lots, and then let them draw, so that it is completely unbiased. Because what if they both want, they're equal based on the expert, the value is equal based on the expert. What if they both want the one on the northern side or the southern side? What are we going to do? This will be determined by drawing lots, tossing the coin, drawing lots. Then the sheikh said, وَيَجِبُ أَنْ يَكُونَ Okay, but keep in mind, he says, he whose lot comes out indicating entitlement to a particular share will have it, and it will be binding from that time on. There no right to rescind. It's not until physical separation, like in sales. There is no option of khiyar al-majlis or option of physical separation. Once the lots are drawn, binding. Now, would there be any recourse, any right to contest it? It will be complicated. You will have to prove with bayina that foul play or like something completely wrong took place. وَيَجِبُ أَنْ يَكُونَ وَيَجِبُ أَنْ يَكُونَ قَاسِمُ الْحَاكِمِ عَدْلًا وَكَذَلِكَ كَاتِبُ The people doing the dividing, working for the authorities, al-hakim, the ruler, or the authorities, must be adl, or trustworthy. And we will come to the translation of adl, inshallah, in the next chapter, under the Book of Testimonies. And the scribes should also be. So trustworthy people have to do the dividing, and trustworthy people have to document what has taken place. This brings us to the end of the chapter on division. And to recap, division is enforceable. There are two different types of division. There is a enforceable division and non-enforceable division. Enforceable division is when what? Is when you can make the division without harm to any partner, without need for compensation, and with proof of co-ownership. Yes. Now we will take, we have two more chapters to go over. The Book of Testimonies, and then the chapter on those whose testimony is not to be rejected. So we will take smaller breaks because we will have three sessions today, not two. So we will come back. We will take a four-minute break and come back at 9:45, inshallah.